Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on tonight's episode, a grandmotherly spirit watches over a boy and even enforces the house rules. After she passes away, a grandmother desperately tries to locate her grandchildren. An extraordinary number of locks on the doors of a grandmother's cottage cannot keep out what lurks inside. And little girl believes the orbs she sees are fairies until she reflects upon the orbs as an adult. Could they be grandma? I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah.
Over the river and through the woods.
Yeah.
Tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online, Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
It's weird. It just came together like that.
It happens.
It does.
And I'm guessing there is probably someone listening to our program today that is either missing their grandmother, is looking for some sort of a sign, is looking for, I don't know. Sometimes it just happens to happen.
Yeah.
And here you go. A show about grandma.
There you go.
So I'm trying to think of the first story where it's like enforces the house rules. I'm trying to remember what my grandmother's house rules were. I never really stayed over there all. I stayed over there one night.
Uh-huh.
I think my entire life from what I remember.
Really?
Just one time. And I remember I was sleeping in the basement because I love their basement. And I got to watch TV because I had cable. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like watching MTV all night. And this is like what was on. Like Sleepless in Seattle, I think it was the year that came out. So like the soundtrack.
Like 1990.
93, I believe.
Oh, 93.
If I'm correct.
Okay.
92 or 93-ish. So there was a Celine Dion, Clive Griffin song like going nuts on VH1,
mm-hmm.
like every other song. I'm trying to think. I think Yo MTV Raps was big, but I didn't like rap back then very much. But I believe some stuff was playing on there. I don't remember all of it, but I just remember sitting there watching MTV quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then I was watching it so late that my grandmother came down, and she usually goes to bed at like 7. Or went to bed at 7.
Oh, wow.
Very early to bed, lady. Then I was probably watching TV, I don't know, probably like 10 o'clock at night. And then she came down. You need to turn the TV off now. Because it's time for bed. And I don't think she really knew how to handle it. Because it had been a while since I think she had children in the house. But that was my grandma. I never got yelled at by my grandma for anything. She would tell you if you were thirsty that I'd drink your spit.
Oh, really?
That was kind of her deal. Thirsty, can I get a soda? Drink your spit. But then she always did have the Diet Dr. Pepper in the house. Whenever I drink Diet Dr. Pepper, I think of my grandma.
Aww.
So I think every time I drink a Diet Dr. Pepper, it's like I'm having a paranormal experience. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Did you ever have any big rules at your grandparents' house?
My grandparents had, my mom's parents had a lot of breakable things.
Sure.
So it was always just sit still and look cute. And that was pretty well how the visit went. We always had a good time. We always did a lot of fun stuff, but we were always kind of nervous that we would break something.
Yeah. Just don't break the shit.
Yes.
Just sit still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's understandable with little kids at a grandparent's house. Yeah, that's true. That's funny. 855-853-4802 is our number here. Let's go to a letter. Michael writes in, thank you for sharing my story back in November. I'm the guy that shared the story about the shadow person that I saw three times before my father's death. I do agree that it is most likely a dark entity. I have a number of other events that I'd like to share, and today I wanted to tell you a little about a house that I grew up in here in San Laredo, California. My parents bought the house in 1977, shortly after their marriage. From what my mother has said, the neighborhood kids wanted to know why they had bought the haunted house. Apparently, some of the neighbors had seen one of the previous owners walking around inside the house, even though they knew that she was dead. My mother's first encounter with the ghost, Mrs. St. Louis, was while she was pregnant with me. She had been cleaning dishes and turned around to put away a knife when she walked into someone that she could not see. She apologized for walking into the ghost, explaining that she couldn't see it. Then stated that as long as the ghost didn't hurt her, honor, or her family, that it was welcome to stay. After I was born, my mother would see an elderly woman standing next to my crib with a happy expression on her aged face and softly whispering to me while I slept. My mom was apparently fine with this, and Mrs. St. Louis did not appear to be a danger to me, even if she was a ghost. At the age of two, I tried to jump through the window in the front door and got my head stuck in the shattered glass. I'd been playing Superman. Miraculously, I didn't have a scratch once Mom got my head out. She occasionally credits the ghost of Miss St. Louis with preventing me from being hurt. Several years later, when I was in high school, my brother brought a friend over to the house. Mom had a rule that we could not have guests visiting if she was not home, and my brother was purposely ignoring it, even though I did point this out. Mrs. St. Louis visually manifested in the sunlight dining room with hands on her hips and a stern expression, terrifying my brother's friend. When asked who or what that was, the response that my brother gave was, "That's just our resident ghost. As long as you behave, she won't be a problem." As you may have guessed, my brother's friend immediately left. Even though there was a dark influence over that house, I don't think that Mrs. St. Louis was ever a problem. Take care, Michael from the San Francisco Bay Area.
I think that's cool to have that kind of presence in your house watching over your kids when you're not there.
It is. It's kind of like the ultimate security system.
Yeah.
If you will. The question is, how much credence do you give it? Do you feel comfortable leaving your children just home alone then, more so with the ghost?
I would say after the child tried to go head first through a glass window and broke it, mm-hmm. and, you know, that it was some kind of paranormal influence that kept him from being hurt,
mm-hmm.
I would be all about it. I'd be fine with it, because if that can happen and the paranormal entity can help keep my kids safe,
mm-hmm.
then I don't feel like it's going to do anything malicious, because it would have had the opportunity to just stand back with its hands on its hips and say, well, let's watch this shit happen.
Or push the kid's head down onto the shattered glass shards and go, hey, look at this.
Right. Yeah. So I'd be okay with it. You?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, I don't think I'd ever be completely at peace with the ghost watching my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily mean that I would think that it was malicious or negative, but I would still be a little bit, it's still a dead person.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent. Phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story. Of course, you can also go to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and just share it that way. You can write in to us. And remember, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, press that subscribe button. We appreciate that. It's always fun to watch the show on the charts there on iTunes as it climbs higher and higher, thanks to you guys. So thank you in advance for pressing that subscribe button for us. Laura writes in, hi guys, this is Laura again. Thanks for reading my story not long ago about the creepy old farm orphanage in Western Australia. I am here to tell my other story. The one which I mentioned was the one time I had something happen to me directly, and it sounded like you thought it was funny. I wasn't going to tell it, so here I am to tell it now. But first, I wanted to share a little fact. I was actually born in the same town that the horrible history farm orphanage is in. I just felt that it was creepy when I found out. Anyway, back to the story. I feel this was the only thing I have ever really experienced personally that could be paranormal. Okay. When I was around the age of 15, my grandmother passed away. She had passed away naturally, but she would not have contact with my mom for about a week before we called the police to go to check on her. They found her on her couch. She didn't appear to have struggled at all, but my mom and dad were required to go to the scene for reasons I am unsure of. We got the call from the police at around dinner time, and my parents needed to leave almost immediately. They had a big drive ahead of them. Coincidentally enough, my grandma lived in the same town that I was born, and of the creepy farm. It was a couple of hours' drive, so my parents knew by the time they got there and got home, it would probably be very late, so they arranged for me and my younger sister to stay with our good friends overnight, but my baby brother went with them. My sister and I were both very upset, and we were crying a lot. I remember we didn't even finish our dinner. We were so busy crying. I remember being very sad, and I didn't get to say goodbye. Anyway, the people we were staying with had a daughter the same age as my sister and a son about 5 at the time. My sister slept with them on sleeping bags in one room, and I got to sleep on the daughter's bed in the separate room alone. The parents were in their room at the other end of the house. I remember I didn't really sleep well because I was shaken up by everything happening, and I remember lying in bed crying. I don't remember exactly what I was thinking about, I guess just being sad about what happened, but all of a sudden I can remember as clear as anything a whisper in my ear that said, "Shh." It was not in a mean tone, as if to say, "Shh, be quiet," but more in a soft and calm tone of, "Shh, it's okay." I remember immediately stopping crying and holding my breath to listen. Nothing else happened, but I was totally freaked out. I jumped out of bed and ran down the hallway to where my sister was sleeping. I sat down beside her and found she was wide awake and also crying. I asked her if she would come sleep with me in the bedroom, and she said yes. She also told me that she had heard someone walking around. I shrugged it off because I had just walked down the hall, so maybe she heard me. She came and slept in the bed with me in the other room. Not long after that, the friend's daughter came in and asked if she could sleep with us also. She said she'd heard someone walking around. I was pretty scared at this point, but also kept in mind the fact that now both my sister and I had been up walking around. I just assumed that what I'd heard, I had imagined. Then, not long after this, the little son of our friends came into the room and he was crying. He told me that he was scared and didn't want to sleep alone either. So all 4 of us ended up in this little bed together. From memory, nothing else happened and we all ended up falling asleep. Anyway, the next morning, we were at the table eating breakfast and our friend's father asked us who was walking around the house last night. I explained how I had gotten up and walked down the hall a few times, but he proceeded to say, "No, someone was walking all around the house last night. I heard them in the kitchen and even outside our bedroom door. It's like they were looking for something." Everyone, including myself, said none of us were walking around the areas. I think he got a bit annoyed at us because I remember he got a bit grumpy and ended up leaving for work rather quickly. I'm not sure what happened that night for sure, but I think maybe my grandmother came to say goodbye to my sister and I, and that maybe she was wandering around the house trying to find us. Their house is very large and spread out. Anyway, this is the only thing that has really happened to me directly. I don't have any hard evidence and sometimes wonder if maybe it was just my imagination and coming up with something to calm myself down while I was upset. I have been listening to your show nonstop every day as I'm a freelance designer working from home, so I listen to you all day. I felt compelled to tell this story because I have heard people with similar stories on your show, which reinforces the idea what I experienced may have been real. Deceased people coming to say a final goodbye seems to be common. I like to believe this is what happened, but a tiny part of me remains skeptical in a way because this is the one and only thing that has ever happened to me. And I'm not even 100% sure it wasn't all in my head. Another thing that I wanted to quickly mention because I heard others telling stories on the show about it is about my baby brother. He's no longer a baby. He's 8 now. So maybe one day, I'll ask him about it all. But I remember when he was a baby, not long after my nan had passed away. He'd be lying in the crib, looking up at the ceiling, smiling, laughing, and he'd sometimes say, "Nana," or "Nan," which is what we were teaching him to say to my grandma or nan before she passed away. I think the common train of thought here is that he was probably seeing her, as babies seem extra sensitive. As my brother got older, he didn't really seem to experience much, but I remember two times when he must have been around 4 or 5 that he freaked me out. One time, I remember walking in the middle of the night, I don't remember the hour, and he was sitting at the end of my bed with a big pile of his toys. Asked him what the hell he was doing, and he told me he was playing with a little boy in the cowboy hat. I remember just feeling confused and so tired. I just lay back down and went to sleep. The second time, I remember on another night, my brother waking me in the middle of the night and asking me to come help him. When I asked what was wrong, he told me that the little boy in the cowboy hat was in the room and he wouldn't stop crying. All I can remember is once again being really confused. Half asleep and telling him to go to bed before falling back to sleep almost immediately, I remember being freaked out and the following morning of both times, but never asked my brother about it because I thought maybe it was just a dream. Maybe I should ask. Maybe when he's a little bit older. Anyway, thanks again for reading my story or stories. Just wanted to say I've now become an EPP. Didn't take long at all for me to sign up for that. Love what you guys are doing. Love the stories. Don't stop. Once again, stay spooky. Alora.
I'm wondering if when you realize that a loved one has died, if that's when sometimes it kicks in as far as the loved one coming to either comfort or say goodbye. Because it sounded like, and I hate to say this, but it sounded like she had passed away a little while before anybody realized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alora didn't have any actual events happen before she found out that the grandmother had indeed passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if sometimes that death visit has to happen after they find out. I know sometimes it happens and that's how the person realizes that somebody they love is gone, and they mm-hmm. get a call the next morning or whatever.
Sure.
But that delay there makes me wonder. It also makes me question whether or not that was what was going on in that home where they stayed with their friends. Because the way the father kind of got grumpy and huffed out and left in a hurry, it's almost like he'd heard this before and was just done, you know?
Do you take it that way, or do you take it that he was looking at the kids as being kids and frustrated of, nobody's going to answer me straight. I'm just leaving. I'm not going to argue with these people.
I could see it either way. I don't know. Knowing how my personality is, and of course that's not any way to judge everybody else, but I would have been like, this again, I'm done, I'm gone, I'm going to work.
See, I almost took it that as he was frustrated with the kids and this was a rare occurrence in the home.
And see, I thought he would have had more patience if this was rare.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it might have just been one of those things where all these children were thrust on him, essentially, out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of frustrated by that. Had to get up for work the next morning. Ask the kids some simple questions. Just wanting an answer, or wanting one of them to say, it was me, I was walking around and couldn't get it. It was like, I'm done, I'm just out. That's where I was feeling it.
Okay.
But I could see it from the other perspective, too. I'm not saying I'm right by any means.
And I, you know, you can't really tell from the two sentences that reference the father.
Yeah,
but I find that very interesting. I would love to hear more about the boy in the cowboy hat. And I know your little brother's kind of young to sit him down and question him for a story, but I would love to know what the story is with the little boy in the cowboy hat is. In my mind, and I don't know why, I get this mental image of a little boy in like a 1950s red cowboy hat with the white piping
mm-hmm.
on it, like would sit in front of the TV and watch The Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
And then you're creeping up behind him and you see him. He's sitting there. He's watching The Lone Ranger in the living room. And you walk up and think, oh, look, cute little kid. Got the cowboy hat on. And he turns around. His eyes are pure black.
See, I don't think that. I think he's just the ghost of somebody that died too early. But I would love to find out more about that story.
And then you hear a sharp... And you realize he's holding the head of the cat and eating it. And you run in fear for your own life.
This is why we don't write stories. We just read them.
Just impromptu horror moment.
That's great.
855-853-4802. I would be like, if I made a horror movie, it wouldn't even be B. It'd be like Q.
It'd be worse than Ghost Ship.
I think Ghost Ship was bad.
Ghost Ship messed me up. I did not like that movie at all.
I thought Ghost Ship was okay. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it was hokey, but
I think the wire cutting through everybody on the dance floor, yeah, that did me. I was done.
I think Ghost Ship, if you're gonna, you know, like you have a horror movies, that would be like The Conjuring or like Insidious, things that are like, you know, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have your B movies. I would say Ghost Ship was about a B+. It was pretty close to being, I mean, it was a major motion picture release.
Yeah.
Most B movies are straight to, you know, DVD or Netflix or whatever. But that one was actually released, but just not quite of the quality that I think it should have been. I mean, I think that was mainly just shitty acting. But the sets I was fairly impressed with. For being a ghost ship. I mean, I love the concept of a ghost ship. I mean, the idea of a haunted ocean liner out there,
mm-hmm,
just sailing and, you know, nobody can find it. It's just totally intriguing to me. There actually is a, and I don't have the article in front of me, but there, it's not an ocean liner in terms of like a cruise ship, but it, I believe, is a very, very large fishing vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your normal size. I mean, it's a pretty big one. And I believe it is abandoned, and there's been reports of this thing sighted, I believe, over near the UK. There's been sightings of it all over.
Oh, wow.
It's been several years, I think, since the last one. And there's unconfirmed ones that kind of pop up, and they think it's probably sunken by now.
Okay.
But it's, for many years, it would just kind of be there.
Well, like, how long was it out there just floating?
Several years.
Really?
Yeah. And there's stories of people who were able to get up onto it. So it wasn't just like a mystical ship and nobody knows what it was. It's actually identified. People know what the vessel was.
What happened to everybody?
I don't know. I for some reason, I think they had to get off and... I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Or it was abandoned. There's a lot of ships that, when they get towed...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if they realize, I mean, the cost is going to be far too prohibitive of getting it from point A to point B,
mm-hmm,
it accidentally hits a reef or land and then sinks.
Okay.
Accidentally, quote unquote.
Sure. Kind of like the homes that accidentally burn in Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, you know, there's speculation on those. But this one was actually out there for quite some time. I'll look into it more and talk about it in another episode. But I've read so many articles over the years, I can't pull that information out of that part of my mind at this moment.
See, my interest is all piqued now because I can't imagine abandoning a ship that's not sinking that could actually stay afloat that long. I don't know why.
I don't know, but it's real.
That's weird.
It's not made up in Tony Land, I assure you.
Okay.
It isn't. I will find it and I will prove it to you.
Okay.
Holly writes in, hello, I just listened to you for the first time tonight. Wow, what an interesting program you've put together. Thank you. You inspired me to share my story, so here it goes. When I first moved out of my parents' house and went to college, I was living in a converted garage efficiency apartment. This was nicely structured, set back into the backyard garden, which was very lush and green. Planted to look like the wilds of Rhode Island back at the turn of the 20th century. Where my grandma was born. When she died, my mom inherited that house. All of my siblings lived there at one time or another, or in the house beside it. We all loved that place. While there, I kept the windows and doors open all summer and spring, cooled by a breeze that funneled through the space, smelling of ivy, dragon's blood, ground cover, pine trees, mulberry trees, roses, and spices. It was awesome. During the winter, the space heated up quickly and remained toasty. Although small, it was a fantastic little siesta. All of my friends were jealous, which made me feel pretty lucky, and I felt safe there. Sometimes, though, I've always been a skeptic about all things paranormal. I felt like my grandma was watching and protecting me while I lived there. Honestly, there was just one discordant thing about that place, and it had to do with the way it was designed. When you enter the apartment, there was a living bedroom space, followed by a long hall on the right with a huge walk-in closet on the left, a water heater closet on the left, and then a bathroom on the left. The hall led to all of those on the way to the kitchen in the back. Nothing odd about that, but what was strange was that all of the doors, including two for the hall, one off the living space and one into the kitchen, were outfitted with locks. Not just key locks, but also slot locks and chain locks on each and every door that could only be opened from one side. Basically, this meant that at every stage, someone could be locked in that apartment, or you could use it like a staggered panic room where you could move out from one room and lock the door and into another and lock the door behind you and so forth to make absolutely certain no one could follow. That made me go, as they say. I'd never seen anything like it then and haven't since. I mean, geez, count them. One, front entrance. Two, hall entry. Three, walk-in closet. Four, water heater closet. Five, bathroom. Six, kitchen door. Seven, exit to backyard. Seriously, Grandma, what's up with that? Anyway, all of this info sets the tone for my paranormal experience, which occurred like this. I was sitting on my daybed looking out the front door at the brick trail leading from the front yard to my door when I saw my friend Charlie, an orange, striped, long-haired cat owned by one of my neighbors. He visited me regularly and learned early on that he could easily paw his way into my apartment because my screen door didn't sit firmly into the frame. I gave him treats because, I'm not about bribery. Anyway, he was padding towards me. I could see him and my clock, which was on a dresser by the front door. Suddenly, Charlie stopped cold. His hair rose up on end and he stared at me with the luminous green eyes that quickly turned black as his pupils dilated. Though it was very bright outside, it was 3 p.m. I don't know why I noted the time particularly, but I did. As I watched Charlie, I began to feel something scary come over me. I couldn't move. Not at all. I was totally paralyzed and felt like something evil was trying to claw its way inside of me, attacking me mentally, physically, psychologically, all at once. Charlie hissed at me and then turned tail and ran away. Time kept moving on, but I couldn't. I really felt like something was trying to possess me, and it sure as hell wasn't Grandma. It was an evil, awful, awful presence that filled me with dread. I felt sick. My mouth tasted like I licked the floor and the latrine. And if I couldn't, or if I could have moved, I might have thrown up. Wasn't until I thought, Grandma helped me, over and over, like a mantra, mentally reminding myself that she'd never ever let anyone or anything hurt me, that I could finally move again. But 5 minutes passed before that happened, and just prior to my release, each of the doors in the apartment slammed shut one by one. Then I literally felt a wave of clean, pure, fresh air run through my entire body. Not outside it, but inside me. I shuddered and shook for a lot longer than 5 minutes thereafter because I survived such a freaky, sick experience. I can honestly say that I know what it feels like to be temporarily possessed by something. And believe me, it was a titanic struggle to fight off. I doubt that I could have done it without my grandma, seriously. So am I still a skeptic? Mostly. But I'm open to believing things I would have never entertained before that happened. The really bizarre thing is that since then, I remembered other odd things that happened in my life that I had totally blocked out. So despite being a skeptic, I've had my share of weird, paranormal things happen in my life. I just don't know what to think. Capping all this off, Charlie never came back to visit. If he saw me, he ran away. That hurt. And later my boyfriend from Cuba told me that I was shadowed by a mad spirit woman with long black hair. I know, right? Could have lived my entire life without hearing that. He believed that she is the spirit trying me and that she will never stop trying to take over my body and mind. I'll freely admit that's something I consciously chose not to believe. I can't afford to. Sorry it took me so long to relay such a short antidote. I just haven't shared this story much, and writing it transported me mentally to a place I don't ever want to be again. But at the same time, I feel relieved somehow. Thanks for listening.
The thing about the locks is each one of those locks had to be placed on that door.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to take the time to do it. And for them to do that, there had to be a reason.
Normally, you're not locking out ghosts.
No, I'm just thinking of whoever's putting those locks on there, you know, each lock on each door. You know, at some point you'd be like, okay, this is getting old. Do we really need the locks on the closet door? You know, but they deemed it necessary, and that's what's scary.
Here's a thought. I'm wondering if there was some bad person there at some point in time that they had the locks up there for.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that was not, I don't know, bad temper, not right, lurking the neighborhood, you name it. There's 1,000 possibilities.
Sure.
Of who that person could be or what they could be or their temperament. But obviously you'd put that up there for protection. So I'm wondering if what was going on there, was essentially the spirit of whatever that person was. Maybe they did pass on at some point or another. And, well, there are locks now there. The locks are not going to stop them from getting into the house. And slamming all the doors was kind of a taunt back at what the people did in the living time of that person to keep them out. And now he's there. Shut all the doors you want. They're going to do whatever they want.
I could see that.
I don't know. It could be one of those cases where you can jump to demonic entity really quick, but there's also just asshole ghosts or asshole ghosts, as we've called it before, and that we're human that will continue to be manipulative assholes in death.
Yeah.
And if they have the ability to essentially, in this case, kind of possess or get into somebody or make them feel dramatically uncomfortable. And I don't know if a human can necessarily possess another person, if a human ghost has that ability. But I certainly think they have the ability to make someone in the living feel extremely uncomfortable.
Sure.
And that may have been what was going on. Not to the point where they're able to completely take over their body, but essentially, you don't know what the hell's going on. That's what's going to come to your mind. You're going to think you're becoming possessed, or maybe they're just really getting a grip on you and making you feel horrible. That's just my bizarro take on it. You know, it's not scientific by any means, but take it for what it's worth.
The locks made me go back to when we stayed at that hotel in Colorado with all the locks on the door.
Oh, was that the Cow Palace?
Yeah.
The Cow Patty, as we called it.
Yeah.
And that was a fun little establishment there.
There was at least 5 locks on our door. And then there was, on top of all the locks, a wire loop that latched onto, what was it, like a bolt?
Mm-hmm.
A very makeshift, crude thing. But somebody deemed that last little lock or security necessary. And that was very unsettling to go in there and see all those locks on that door.
Oh, yeah. You know what was interesting about that place? I looked it up after we had stayed there and was reading more about it. And Oprah had actually stayed there, too, when she was doing, like, her tour of the United States
okay.
or something. And she I think she refused to like stay in it. She like stayed in her, according to Oprah, and according to the, you know, the way the show was produced, it made it look like she just stayed in her car for the night. I'm sure she probably stayed elsewhere. But the Gail, her friend who was going with her, when they were getting out in the morning, they found a bunch of shotgun shells.
Oh, that's great.
Outside. And I guess someone confronted like one of the producers of the show in the bar there at the Cow Patty, and was talking about Oprah, that N-word. And it sounded like a real inviting neighborhood. Yeah, I wouldn't stay there again.
No.
It was rather disturbing. It was a throwback to a certain extent, as far as like what old hotels used to look like.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm thinking of the old holodomes and things of that nature that were kind of neat.
And see, when I stayed there 23, 24 years ago,
sure,
it was fun. It was like that. It had a great big pool, and it was not at all the way I remembered. I thought maybe, you know, that they would have kept it up or updated it. No, it looked exactly the same, but run down.
Yeah, that was, it's another thing, a fun thing about that place is watching the reviews of it on TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
I left a real honest one, honestly, with pictures. and just the responses. TripAdvisor is kind of funny to watch. The responses that you'll get from managers or owners of a hotel that really need like Gordon Ramsay to come in and just scream at them to wake up and go, there is something seriously wrong here. Stop with the excuses. Stop with, we put a card on your bed and you should have read that card because that card would have explained everything. Really? Is the card going to explain the air conditioner that sounds like someone's doing maintenance above our heads all night long? Is the card going to explain, you know, the shower curtain falling off the wall and the rotting away? Is that what the card's going to explain? It's like, fix up your freaking hotel or shut it down.
Yeah, it was really sad.
One of the two. Don't give me a card to explain how you're going through this and going, I don't give a shit. You're renting out to people. If your rooms are not rentable, then don't rent them. Simple enough.
I'm sorry I drug you there.
It was an experience.
Yeah, it sure was.
I enjoyed it.
Sounds like it.
Made for some fun conversation on our show. So there you go. That was the reason we say that. I didn't, you know, I stayed in worse, honestly.
Yeah, we still hear about that.
The Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just the perfect name for a creepy hotel, because you think of Norman Bates and sure. Bates Motel up by Mackinac Island. When I was a child, nice big old green shag carpet. This is like circa 1993. Kind of smelled like raccoons had fornicated.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
TV was black and white, and it's 93. You should probably have a color TV by 93. What's going on in another room? Just the Rakens. They'd be making some love.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Let's watch Nick at Night. Okay, Mom. Sounds good. We're going to go to the Big Island tomorrow. 855-853-4802 is our number. Greta writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Greta, and I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania. Not Amish, no. I have two stories to share today, but particularly scary. Not particularly scary, but definitely paranormal. As a child, my family and I lived in a large house deep in the thick woods. On the longer right wall of my rectangular-shaped bedroom, there was an old wooden shelf. This old wooden shelf was holding random knickknacks from my great-grandmother's very old plantation-esque farm. I tell you this because they may have been a source of energy, and my second story takes place on the farm. Anyway, one night while in bed, I couldn't have been more than five. I remember seeing a small ball of light floating about 6 feet in the air, about 3 feet away from the foot of my bed. Another time, a completely separate occasion, I remember the light floating near the shelf. I was never scared of them, so I had no idea what they were. I told my mother about this and theorized to her about fairies. Third time came, I can recall seeing these lights. It was in my mother's room. One night while sleeping between her and my father, I pointed to the ceiling and said, "Look, Mommy, lights." Four of the lights had manifested above my parents' bed and seemed to be sort of scrambling around, moving rather quickly in no particular pattern. My mother pulled the blankets over our heads. My second story takes place some years later, in an old trailer on the edge of my great-grandmother's property, in which both my great-aunt and uncle had died a few years prior. I was about 10 at the time. One late morning in my rather small bedroom, I remember waking up to my great-aunt Lillian standing in the middle of the end of my bed. She was very white and almost transparent, and I remember her turning and looking at me before vanishing. I wasn't scared this time either, as I didn't feel threatened and didn't really process what had just happened before falling asleep again. Thanks for reading, Greta.
I bet they were orbs. I bet that would be something a lot of kids that see orbs think, is that they're Tinkerbell. Because I remember as a kid, the reflection on anybody's watch, you know, as they're moving their arm and that makes that light kind of anomaly on the ceiling or whatever.
Sure.
I always called that Tinkerbell. So I could see somebody that's pretty little that doesn't really have the idea of ghosts yet thinking that orbs are fairies. I could see that.
I think that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
If I would go, "Mom, look, a light anomaly on the wall."
You would not.
Exactly like that. But I spoke, you know, with kind of, you know, a weird northern Wisconsin accent and like some sort of child speech impediment. So it was like, "Mama, look, light anomaly on the wall."
Okay, now that sounds like a Muppet baby.
I was a Muppet baby.
So,
make your dreams come true.
Do you think the orbs had anything to do with the shelf?
The one from the plantation-esque era? I think it could very well be a source. It seems to make some sort of sense. I mean, I think items of that era and of that origin, if you will, certainly are ripe for having things attached to them.
Yeah, it probably held a lot of sentimental value.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802. If you want to share a real ghost story with us. And remember, if you like the show, press that subscribe button, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. If you're checking us out on Dark Matter Radio and streaming our show, we have that huge archive for you to check out beyond just the runs of the show on Dark Matter. So you can check us out on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. There's links there to go check us out on iTunes and whatever platform you like. YouTube as well to check out our huge back catalog archive of shows to get creeped out by at your pleasure. Trevor writes in, "I haven't had that many paranormal experiences in my life. I've always liked the idea of the supernatural and unexplainable. I have three stories of strange and unexplainable stuff that I have encountered. I'll explain two here and another one later. So here's the first story. I'll start off by saying that I am currently a junior in high school. So this is around 5 years ago. At the end of my sixth grade year, I went to a class party with my classmates to one of our friends' houses. We'd hang out, had fun, laughed, even fell into a small creek on accident, which everyone laughed at. My best friend Chris invited me to spend the night at his house afterwards, and I was really excited about spending the night at his house afterwards. After the party, since I was wet from falling into the small creek, I went back to my place to get some dry clothes, toothbrush, and the usual stuff. My mom, dad, and brothers were gone, and the front door was locked. I and Chris hopped my fence and went through the doggy door in the backyard. We had a medium-sized dog, so it wasn't hard to get through. We got inside, and I got everything ready while Chris waited downstairs. When I got downstairs, Chris was waiting for me, and we started to make our way back to the doggy door. All of a sudden, there was the loudest scream we've ever heard. We covered our ears, and whatever made that sound sounded like it was right next to us. We'd never gone through the doggy door so fast before. At first, after we left, we assumed it was the alarm, and we passed it off as that. I called my parents later, and they claimed that she hadn't set the alarm. To this day, I and Chris still have no idea what to make of this. I have heard my alarm plenty of times, and this was nowhere near the horrific sound of whatever it was made. Now on to story number two. A few years after this, when I was a freshman, we had moved houses from the older one that was previously mentioned. I began to feel a sort of feeling that I was being watched or that someone else was there. This went on a couple of days. One night when I was trying to sleep, I kept hearing footsteps downstairs. The next night I heard footsteps in the hallway right outside my door, but no one was there since I can see the hallway. I stayed up for a good majority of that night. I believe I texted Chris during this time, saying stuff like that there might be someone in my house. He got me to calm down and fall asleep. For a night or two, everything went back to normal. I got more sleep and I passed the footsteps off as exhaustion, or my brother's. However, one night I went to sleep perfectly normal and later shot up awake and looked in a dark corner of my room, and I whispered to myself over and over again, "It's right there. It's watching me. It's standing right there." I prayed for Jesus to help me, and I held on to a little Jesus statue I had on my dresser next to me and prayed and prayed. Still feeling an incredible amount of fear, I eventually fell back asleep. I told my parents the next day that they passed it off as me joking or just not hearing things right. That night I couldn't sleep and heard some footsteps downstairs, and that was enough. I went into my parents' room right next to mine and I slept on the floor next to their bed. Felt like something was watching me from the doorframe, but I didn't sit up to look. I grabbed the Jesus statue and prayed again until I fell asleep on the floor. I did this twice. Just kind of stopped after that. No more footsteps overpowering feelings of fear, thinking that something was watching me. It just ended. I've moved houses since, and nothing has happened like that in my house again. I'll explain the third story later, since this is a long story and message. Thank you for listening, and I hope you don't think I'm crazy or making this up. Love your show. Keep up the good work. Trevor.
Okay. In the first story, were they supposed to be where they were, or were they not supposed to be where they were?
What are you referring to?
Where they had to go through the doggy door to get in.
I think they were just sneaking in or out of a place that they probably should have been.
Okay.
If they were sneaking out, they were sneaking out of the house they were supposed to be, and if they're sneaking back into their house, I wasn't sure if they were coming or going.
I wasn't sure either. I just wondered if that was like some kind of warning for you're not supposed to be here.
The fact that nobody else heard the screaming leads me to believe that, and I think this happens a lot when people hear things paranormally. I think sometimes even though these sounds come across as piercingly loud, I think sometimes they are simply only surrounding one person or a few people.
Yeah.
That they're intended for. So you can be in the house, you can be upstairs, and you're not going to hear the piercingly loud scream. But if those kids, for whatever reason, there was some reason they heard that, they'd be the only ones that hear it. Now, that's not, I think, the case all the time with paranormal sounds, but I think that happens more times than not when people have the, "I had this experience last night. How did you not hear all that?"
It's directed at them.
I think the sounds can be manipulated.
Okay.
As far as where they're going and where they're ending.
I see. That makes sense.
So.
Okay.
Doesn't explain anything about their story.
No, sorry.
but I think that kind of explains why the parents never necessarily also, you know, said anything about the sound.
Because
I would think if the sound was so loud, they'd have been like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah.
But it was just them that seemed to notice it. So.
And we don't usually air too many younger writer's stories, but I thought it was good, and I'd like to hear the third part of that.
Yeah, feel free to write back in and share. That'd be very interesting to hear. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, become an EPP, extra podcast person, get all those bonus episodes, and you help keep our show on the air. It's only $5 a month. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to Rita. In Salt Lake City, I'm assuming, SLC, right?
That is right. This All is right. Miss Rita.
All right.
Hi, Tony and Jen. This is Rita from Salt Lake again. And I was just listening to the promotion of the last one you sent me. And I'm telling you, I love your show. I just absolutely love it. There's nothing like it. I can't listen to the world news on TV or nothing. I come into my room and I go to listen to the world news, and I look at my tablet, and I have to start listening to your show. But I've got a story. It was my home, but it was with my sister, and she lived in Ohio. And I went to visit her, and I'm telling you, I was so scared. This scared the holy dickens out of me. She let me sleep upstairs in her home, and my 5-year-old son was with me, and I couldn't sleep good because he was sleeping with me. And so I got up in the middle of the night, I was going downstairs, and I thought I'd make me a cup of coffee and just sit around. And when I got up to go down the stairs, this lady was sitting, old white-haired lady, was sitting on the stairs, coming at the bottom of them. And I couldn't imagine who in the world that could be, because there's no one there but my sister, her husband, and her two sons, and my boy. So I looked, and I kind of made a noise, so she'd do something, and she never moved or anything, and I was afraid to go past her, and I called for my sister, and my sister was still reading, laying in bed reading, and she got up, and she come out there, and she said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I want to come downstairs, but I said, somebody's sitting on the steps." And she said, "Oh, that's nobody but Grandma. Says she won't bother you." I said, "Well, are you afraid?" She says, "No. Come on downstairs." So I went down, and that person never even budged. She didn't move or anything. And so I went in the kitchen, and my sister come in, and I said, "Well, who is that woman?" And she said, "That's Grandma. She used to own this home." And she said, "She never bothers a soul here." She said, "My kids are so used to her, they call her Grandma. But she usually sits in her rocking chair." And she said, "I've never seen her sit on the steps before." And I said, "Well, good Lord." I said, "Tell her to go somewhere else." I said, "Because I can't go back up there with her there. And knowing she's there, I'll never sleep." And she said, "She won't hurt you, honest." And she told her. So she went in and she talked. She says, "Grandma," she says, "you're going to have to go back to the basement because my sister is afraid." She said, "You're scaring her." She said, "Will you please go back to the basement?" And then that thing wasn't there anymore when I went in the living room. So I told my sister, I said, "Well, why do you make her go to the basement?" She said, "That's where she first appeared to me," and she said, "That's where she stays, like, unless she wants to come up and sit in a rocking chair." So that was better for me. So I felt better. I went upstairs, but I couldn't go to sleep because I knew that was in the house, and I was scared to death. So the next morning, instead of staying the rest of my week out, I got my son and my things, and I left. And I drove back home in Michigan, and I never did go there to stay all night again. When I went back again, I got a hotel and stayed there, and I felt a lot better. So that's my story. I love both of you and Jenny. I just absolutely adore you, both of you. And this is my whole life. I'm 77 years old, but I'm telling you, I have the best life of all. Just laying when I want to and listening. I love it. So thank you, and bye.
Thank you, Rita, for calling in and sharing your story with us. And I'm glad we can provide some entertainment for you.
She's the reason we do this show.
Yeah.
People like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's an interesting story. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know that I would be so comfortable with just saying, oh, it's just a grandma spirit, you know, don't worry about it.
That's like the ultimate. We were talking earlier in the show about, you know, would you be comfortable with a ghost spirit in your house? And that's kind of grandmotherly or whatnot.
And see, if it had proven itself to be a very benevolent spirit that was there to help, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But just at first, kind of like how Rita was, I don't know that I'd be so comfortable.
It's like, it's so bizarre. So she's just sitting there. It's just, she's dead, but no big deal. She's alive, too.
Well, why does she have to go to the basement? Is she really going to stay in the basement?
I don't know. It's creepy. I would be just as creeped out as Rita.
Yeah.
I do not blame her one bit for that that reaction. Thank you for writing in, Rita. We greatly appreciate it. If you have more ghost stories, we would absolutely love to hear them. So please feel free to call back in anytime. Phone number here is, of course, 855-853-4802. And as we said, please help keep our show on the air. Support it. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You get the bonus episode every single week and access to our bonus archive episodes, which are just packed with some great ghost stories every single week. Full episodes there. And video content as well. And plus, like I said, without you guys being EPPs, we could simply not keep the show on the air. So please do support it. It's only $5 a month. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.